You're listening to the NewChurches.com Q&A podcast. New Churches is an online hub for the mission of church multiplication.
Resources.
Here you'll find the...
Resources.
And...
I don't know.
Training. Yeah, we've done 78 of these, man.
Training.
You need to get started, as well as a community of church planting and multi-site experts to help you thrive. Be sure to download our latest report called Multiplication Today, Movements Tomorrow, Practices, Barriers, and an Ecosystem to learn what it looks like to be a sending and a multiplying church. You can go to our show notes today by going to newchurches.com/podcasts and clicking on today's episode number. My name is Daniel Im, and I'm here with Todd Adkins.
What?
Well, today we have a question.
I want to talk about ecosystems for a minute.
Okay, ecosystems. Let's do it.
Okay. So I don't know why you chose that word.
Okay.
But? I know why I would choose that word. Because the ecosystem is a bunch of things that are intertwined and interdependent upon each other. And if you don't have a solid ecosystem, if there's something that is out of balance, it quickly becomes a monoculture.
Yeah.
So that is where sometimes you'll have an invasive species that just completely overtakes something like, it's like kudzu.
That should be a chapter in your book.
Okay.
It should, shouldn't it? Or you should at least write it somewhere. Or I'll put it in mine next week. Thank you, Todd.
Ecosystem.
Hey, but you know what? I mean, we both like the word because we're pretty similar.
Yes.
If we're honest.
If we're honest.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not Asian or Canadian.
No, and I'm not from Kentucky.
Oh, you just went there.
I did. To Dinosaur World.
You did?
I went to Dinosaur World.
How was Dinosaur World?
My two-year-old loved it. My really? Six-year, because he is a boy and he loves dinosaurs and cars, so he loved it. My six-year-old loves information and facts, so she loved reading every plaque. My five-year-old was way too cool for it.
Hmm. Way too cool for Dinosaur World.
Yeah, so she was like, I'm too cool for school. You know, okay. I'm just going to go ahead.
Do you see how we worked in Dinosaur World into ecosystems there?
There we go.
We should probably hit the question.
Yes. So today's question is from Steve Davis.
New Churches. My name is Steve Davis, and I am a church planter in Central Florida. I'm also a retired soldier. As a retired soldier, a lot of the leadership strategies and techniques that I had in the Army transfer into ministry. However, one of the things I'm having an issue with is letting go of control and not being in control of everything. Being a one-man band looks good, but in the end, really, you just wear yourself out and people aren't developed. So what are some tips maybe that I can use to better develop leaders and let them do what they do, even in light of my standard maybe not being met? Any tips would be great. Thank you.
Let it go. Let it go.
Honestly, I was about to sing that.
No.
This is bizarre.
So we're okay. We are similar.
We are. Hey, in all honesty, I mean, I was recently speaking in New York, and then my wife and I had our 10th year anniversary trip after that. And the one place we really wanted to go was the 9/11 Memorial Museum, because we went there on our first year anniversary in 2007, and we saw it was all fenced up. They were building it. They were trying to figure it. So to actually go back and see what it looks like was incredibly moving. So thanks, Steve, for serving the country.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And thank you for submitting this question. This is, I mean, to be honest, Steve, this isn't something that you alone are struggling with.
No.
Because it feels good to be in control. It feels good not to have to consult anyone on any decisions, right?
Yeah.
I mean, there you get what you put into it in that sense.
Well, and part of the issue is it's like, well, nobody is going to do this as well as I could do it, or it's easier for me to just do it. And that's a lie that we tell ourselves all the time.
Yeah.
Because ultimately, if you, there's within your body, there's going to be someone that is designed to do that task. And so many times we as pastors forget that all have been called and all have been sent. And that, you know, Ephesians 4, our job, we have one job as pastors and church leaders, and that is to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. I'm not telling Steve anything he doesn't already know himself and hasn't already, you know, experienced. I mean, he's coming to us with this question saying, mm-hmm. I have a problem.
Yeah.
And so with that, I would say one of the things that you may want to look at is going back into Exodus and looking at Exodus chapter 18 and seeing, know, what Jethro said to Moses. I mean, at that time, there's like a million plus Israelites and he was trying to do it all himself. And Jethro's like, you're going to wear yourself out. You're going to wear the people out. You're not going to do as good of a job.
That's good.
You handle the tough stuff and put people in tens, fifties, hundreds, thousands, and so on and so forth to take care of the rest. The other thing he did say is he put it in this way. He said, choose faithful men who will be able. And a lot of times we get that backwards. We get people that are able, or people that we might be comfortable giving the ministry to, and then faithful. The guy you give your ministry to may not be the most capable person at the time, but you need to stick with them and develop them. Here's why. If you look at what he did with Joshua, you see, and I'm completely, this is all my boss, Eric Geiger stuff. But if you, because he's the first person that showed me this, you look at Moses went up on the mountain, took Joshua with him. Tabernacle, took Joshua in there with him. Talking to God and praying, took Joshua with him. So the interesting thing that you see there is when Moses died, everything went off without a hitch. In fact, that's when it was, you know, it was go time and they went in and took the land. Now, fast forward to Book of Judges, first verse, Book of Judges. And that is where you see Joshua, son of Nun, was 110 years old when he passed away. And then what happens?
Yeah.
Everyone does what's right in their own mind.
It's a stark difference.
Because the systems may have been in there. The
ecosystem?
The ecosystem, yes. But the systems and processes were probably still in place. The leadership structure, all that Moses had put was carried through to Joshua. The difference was a conviction of leadership development, of developing others. And so I would say, man, you know, you can have the best logistics. I know one of the famous, I think it's an army saying, almost positive.
Be all that you can be.
No.
Be all that you can be. Okay, no. Okay. They have the best commercials, though.
I don't know. I like the Marines, personally.
Yes. Yeah, you're right. I mean, Canada, we're kind of all...
all the same?
Well, there's not as much funding, so...
Oh, okay. We do spend a lot in the area.
Yes.
No, but they... in the Army, they say... amateurs focus on strategy, professionals focus on logistics.
Ooh.
Yeah. So
tweet that.
Yeah, tweet that, buddy. But, you know, and so, you know, saying focusing on logistics is really important, but that can turn back and bite you when you're looking at the local church setting. It's because, yeah, all those systems and processes are really important to making something hum. But if you've got to be backfilling you've got to practice leadership development and not leadership placement as well. So it's a balance.
I love that foundation, Todd, that you laid, in a sense, that Bible study, that kind of a mini sermonette, you did, because that really, I appreciated that, Steve. I'm sure you and our audience really appreciated that as well, because we talk about leadership development a lot. I mean, that's our division here, our department here at Lifeway. We focus on leadership development. New Churches is our effort to resource church planters, multi-site pastors, Lifeway leadership, the 5 Leadership Questions podcast, the consulting that we do.
Leadership Pipeline.
Yeah, focuses more on our event.
The whole deal.
Yeah, on Ministry Grid. I mean, that's our effort to focus the church at large on leadership development and volunteer development. But what I so appreciated about that was it's going back to the Bible, right? It's going back to the scriptures and looking at that biblical foundation for that. Because here's the thing, Steve. If you want to gather a church and develop a church where people are hirelings and they are comfortable just doing what you tell them to do, you're basically creating a culture that is not conducive to high capacity leaders feeling welcomed. I mean, let's turn the situation around, Steve. How would you feel if your boss or your commander or someone above you, or maybe not in the army situation, but in a church setting, what if someone above you always told you what to do? And when you did something that wasn't as good as them, they would kind of harp on you and tell you did a bad job, or say, oh, that's good. But they went and redid everything that you did. I mean, how would you feel honestly about that? Right. I don't think anyone would be good with it.
No.
I mean, we'd all be pretty discouraged.
Well, and what you do when you do everything and you don't give this stuff away, you're prolonging a culture that is a consumer culture, mm-hmm. and you end up building
an
audience.
And it's a cult. It's a cult culture too.
And you're building an audience. So,
yeah.
You know, one of the one-liners I say all the time, and our team starts to roll their eyes after a while, is we want churches to build an army, not an audience.
Yeah.
And so I would say, you know, yeah. I'm sure that would resonate with you.
Yeah.
In the switch you need to make in your mind is I am building an army, mm-hmm. not an audience. So it's important for me, you know, to invest this time in this way. It's important for me to give the ministry away because, again, going back to Ephesians 4, it's one of the few times in scripture where you see an actual promise, especially mm-hmm. in the New Testament, because what you have is, it says Ephesians 4, 11 through 13, 15, maybe 13, 15.
Yeah. Around there
ish. Yeah. Somewhere.
Ephesians 4, 11 and onwards.
And then onward. But where it ultimately ends up is it says, if you do this, if you equip the saints for the work of the ministry, mm-hmm. Then you will have maturity in the body that is measured in the fullness of Christ,
yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Which is not correlation, that is causation. And that is a beautiful, beautiful thing.
Yeah.
So, two things. You can't get to where you need to go as a church unless people are engaged. And frankly, people can't get there either because you cannot grow into spiritual maturity apart from using your gifts in service to Christ.
So, to wrap up then, boom. If you think of your leaders and totally. I mean, when you look at your leaders and bringing them along, right, accompanying them with you. If you haven't read The Master Plan of Evangelism by Robert Coleman, be a great one to take a look at. But as you go along and develop leaders, if you can coach and develop them so that maybe they're doing what you can do at a 60% level. Maybe it's a 60% level before they do it. You prepare them, they do it. It's about 60% of what you would do. And then you have to coach, right? You got to give them feedback so that the next time they do it, it's 70. Next time you do it, it's 80. I mean, if your culture is of that and you are developing leaders, then you are going to begin to attract other high capacity leaders that maybe next time the starting point's not 60, it's 80%. Right. And then they are then in turn developing leaders as well. So it really is that that effect going over and over.
I want to say one more thing.
Okay.
Sorry, I keep adding.
That's okay.
But, you know, in any leadership role, whether it's, you know, a volunteer or it's a leader leading other people or it's even leaders leading leaders, when someone comes into a role for the first time, it needs more directive.
Mm-hmm.
You need to lead in more of a directive manner,
yeah.
and then it moves to supportive.
Mm-hmm.
So just think about, like, over the course of time, how that begins to start out and shift from being directive to supportive. Every relationship starts out that way.
Yeah.
So every new job starts out that way. You're first being told exactly what to do and how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, it's totally fine to bring that person on and invest in them and tell them what to do and how to do it. And eventually you're going to move into almost a fully supportive role where it's not even, I'm not even supporting whatever it is I'm asking you to do. It's mm-hmm. now just life.
Yeah.
It's now just, you know, that piece of it. You're a way better, you know, usher lead than I will have ever been. And so, you know, it's really just me checking in with you and making sure you're spiritually healthy.
Yeah. And on that note, especially on that point too, there are two additional resources that will be in the podcast show notes. The first one is Ken Blanchard's 1 Minute Manager, a link to that. That's a great book that talks more about that. And then there's a great episode on the 5LQ podcast that you and Barnabas and Eric did together on delegating. That'll be great follow-up, Steve. But thanks again for submitting the question. If anyone else, if you guys have other questions to submit, we love to answer questions. I mean, that's the point of our podcast. So make sure to send your questions in at newchurches.com. And you can click the sidebar that says send a voicemail or go to speakpipe.com/newchurches and you can send one in that way. We'll check you out next time.